This is Real Talk with Kingsley Obidera. This is where you catch all the real sports. We do incredible things like this shot. Hey! Ladies and gentlemen, people, little people, big people, everybody out there, I want you to pay special attention because I have Julius J.U. Ice Wosu, the head basketball coach of the Nigerian national team, who just came back from the first leg of the qualifiers of in Angola. Juice, welcome to the show, my brother. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, man. Never better.
You know, in this life journey, man, you know, there's a lot of things that take place. One of the things that I was ecstatic about was when I saw that you were going to be the national coach for the Nigerian national team. Obviously, anybody that's paid attention to this show know that we played together, and I admire you fondly. So, you know, I was very, very happy, you know, to say the least, to see, you know, you were the head coach. How tell us in your own words, how's the experience? How's it been? How's the team doing?
Oh, the team is doing very well. I think everybody's back to their, you know, their normal day, you know, back to their own team, back to whatever country they're playing. You know, like people like Ben Uzo couldn't get back to South Africa, you know, because of the lockdown.
Yes, you know, yes.
I think the guys in Israel couldn't go back, so everybody came back to the States. You know?
Okay.
But overall, everybody is good. The spirit is good, you know. And we have a little WhatsApp where we check up on each other. So,
man, you know, it's a exciting time. I we're gonna put up the standings in a little bit here, you know, just to kind of show the people what you guys are doing, and I'll put insert a little bit of the highlights, but you guys kind of had a tough start to the tournament. You know, I know when you traveled, you know, very, you know, hastily, I should say, down there, our normal process, you know, but, you know, once you guys got down there, it was kind of, did you have time to practice? Because I know in our normal days, we arrive on game day, you know. You know, how was your journey? When did you guys arrive and how was it, you know, kind of pulling everybody together? I know, you know.
Oh, man, you know. I'll put it this way. We got you on time before the game.
I thought, hey, you know, that is what counts. We're Nigerians, man. You know, we do what we do. You know,
we got there, right? A day before the game. You know, everybody's like, you know, hey, man, we didn't even get practice. You know, to me, I already know, you know, one day, Nigeria is on time.
Yeah.
But you know, in the reality, you know, we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to get some practice in, you know, normal. But we didn't have that opportunity to. So we just took care of whatever we have available. So when we got to on Luanda, you know, we have another shuttle flight to Benguela. Mm. So when we got on the shuttle flight, we got there. I told the team, you know, to go to the room, get ready right away, so go to practice because our practice was scheduled at 3:30. So by the time they all came down, and we got to practice, and right when we were trying to take the court, and Molly walks in. Molly said it was their time to practice, and then we pull out the schedule. And they were like, man, they moved Nigeria to 7:30. I was like, but we're supposed to practice at 3:30. The guy was like, well, we didn't think Nigeria was coming. I was like, if you don't think Nigeria is coming, then why do you put them 7:30?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should have left them 3:30. If they don't come, then they don't come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, we got the first game 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Wow, wow.
It doesn't make sense to go practice 7:30 and then be ready 10 in the morning for a game, you know. So I was like kind of, you know, not feeling the whole thing. So I told him, man, let's go back since we haven't got some sleep. Let's go back, take a couple of nap, you know, hour nap, and then come back. Went back to the hotel. Everybody relaxed, ate. And then we came back at 6:30, you know, and then we practiced. All I did was put in a few, you know, just one play, put in one out of bounds play, put in, you know, press breaks and all that, defense, offense. That was it. And then went over to how we're going to defend the team, you know, what we're going to do on pick and rolls, what we're going to do on, you know, guard to guard, big to big, you know, all that. As soon as we were done with that, you know, and it was only like 9 players.
Wow.
So I said, okay, let's play a little, you know, 5-on-5 half court, you know, for about 30 minutes. We go like first 10, and then they beat us. And then my team was like, oh, no, you know, because I took my shirt off and I said, okay, let me be the guard. I played, you know, 5-on-5. Trying to show them old stuff, you know.
Old school.
I got on the court. They beat us the first time. And we were like, oh, you know, take it back. Play it again. We tied it up. Last game, we won. So we went back to the, you know, to the hotel. Man, next day, game was 10 o'clock, man. The guys got up. You know, to be honest with you, man, we lost that first game, but I told them, hey, you know, don't hang your head down. Mm-hmm. It's just like a practice that we were looking to have. You know, mm-hmm. That's what we did. You know, we had a good practice. So get ready for the next day. That's the real game. And, you know, that's how it happened.
And, you know, kind of to piggyback on that, you know, with Nigeria, when we show up for tournaments, at least the games, you know, that I've participated in, the first game is always our toughest game because usually without practice.
Right, right. You know, exactly. You know, like I'm talking to you now, you can relate to what I'm saying, but a lot of people don't get it. You know, we go to a tournament when me and you were playing. Our first game is like rocky, like bad, terrible.
Yeah,
and then you can see how we progress each game, you know. And you know, like if you want to beat us, you better beat us early.
You better beat us that first day.
That's the strike. You're gonna have problems. Yeah.
You know, I remember it was like when we were in South Africa. No, it was it was Egypt. Yeah, okay. We were in Egypt, and we arrived. On game day, when I had Victor Muzadi on the show, they kind of reminded me. They were like, "Hey, bro, like, how do you guys arrive on game day? Like, how serious are you?" you know what I told them? Like when we arrived, right, we were still getting our stuff out of the car, and you know, even though we in the Angola was our biggest rival at the time. You know, we had a mutual respect for each other, right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah, you know, the guys, you know, some of the guys barely spoke English, you know, like my guy, Baduna, you know, he came over, he like, you arriving now? You know, like that, right? I was like, don't worry about it. We're going to see you in the finals.
and they get mad, like, it's too late. It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. And that's literally what I told him. I was like, you know what? Don't worry about when we arrive. We're going to see you in the finals.
In the finals. You know, and that's what it's going to get now to the finals. You know, we sure going to get to that final, man.
You know.
So that's why, you know, the guys, you know, I kind of watch them, you know, and I know they're not used to it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Angola is always, you know, like all these African championships, you know, like the most prepared team mm-hmm. always do well.
Yes, yes.
If you spend time, like Angola, during the time of Angola, before the African tournament, they would take like 1 month preparation, play like, they fly to all the countries and play their friendly matches before even we find out what our team, whether we're going or not. But I know somewhere, somehow, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't know when.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tournament is like a week before the tournament start, and you're still waiting and, you know, trying to hear your phone rings and a ticket on, you know, to go pick up your ticket, and you already have your bag packed. you could be flying out the same day the game. You might miss a game, but we're still going to make it. Oh, man, we've been through a whole lot, man, when we were playing. So you know, I look at the guys, man. You know, you guys got it good, man. Just relax. Yeah. Just relax. Yeah. You know, I've been here many times. I'm here to calm you down. You know, I kind of feel like, you know, they picked the right coach for it. You know, they were all the right.
Oh, my goodness. You know, especially, you know, with the turbulence that was going on with MBBF and everything else surrounding it. It was almost necessary for them to have a common influence, you know, over Nigerian basketball. Mm-hmm. I can tell you, not only myself, because as a former player, obviously, you know, we have chat lines and we communicate with other players and so on. Not only current players, but ex-players, people from 20 years ago, you know, people that I played with, people that I haven't played with. There's, you know, communication level that we all kind of have the same things in mind. But
that's right.
You were selected as the head coach. I can tell you there was a consensus that, oh, man, finally, we have someone that has their finger pulse, you know, at Nigerian basketball. Right. And I have to honestly say this. When I joined the national team, in my mind, I didn't, you know exactly what to expect. But it was, you know, veterans like yourself, like Emeka Okengwa, that, right, you know, pulled me to the side, you know, because, you know, at that time I used to think, hey, you know, I can come down anytime and just crush you over and get to the basket. Let me just do my thing. You know, you guys had to kind of, you know, hey, calm down,
rookie. Calm down, rookie.
You know, we appreciate what you can do, but this is what we gonna do. This is how we're all done down here. You know, and somebody that, like a lot of times when you hear something, you know, you can take it one way or the other way, right?
Right.
And I looked at this, I was like, these guys are absolutely right. They know what they're talking about, because, you know, I come down, I can do my crossover and get to the rack and whatever, right? But how many times am I going to be able to do that, right? Before they start beating that shit up, you know, like throwing it all over the place or hurting me, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but it's like, hey, you know, work with us here, you know, hand it off, you know, boom, you know, you come down. He was like, you come down, break him down, take your shot, break him down, give it up, break it down, run the offense. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, you guys kind of taught me, you know, like, hey, slow this game down. You know, look at your teammate, you know. And so, honestly, when I saw you as the head coach, I was like, oh, man, these guys are going to get some tutelage. That it's not X's and O's, you know.
Right.
When somebody hooks you under the arm like this, Juice is going to show you how to get loose. You understand? So, I was very excited. I mean,
yeah.
God, man, I honestly was excited. And when everybody that I had the communication, they was like, oh, yeah, this is on point. Because if nothing else, you know, having an ex-player, not our most decorated player, other than Hakeem Olajuwon, my brother, I don't know, you know, maybe Giannis is getting up there now. You know what I mean? Like, but
right,
he's still flying the Greek flag. So, you know. But like, other than Hakeem Olajuwon, you are our most decorated player. You understand what I mean? You are our most championship than everybody. You know, you're the man, and you know what you're talking about. And so having these young guys, you know, if anybody's listening to me now, pay close attention. Let me make sure I get to the mic. And this is for these young fellows. This is for these young fellows. Okay. Listen to me closely. If you don't take the opportunity and listen to what this man is telling you, you're going to miss the boat. I'm keeping it real. You know, in fact, this is called real talk. You know, this is real talk. Listen to your coach. And you know, since like, you know, this is for adults. Listen to your motherfucking coach, man. You know, listen to your motherfucking coach.
Is it a sailboat, man, or an engine boat? Which one? Is it a sailboat? So once you put the sail up, you can't.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap.
Yeah, man. You know, the guys, man, I think, you know, I try to, you know, I help them, you know, like, you know, calm them down with the situation. I try to diffuse. I didn't want to be, you know, fueling up the whole distractions, because it was a lot of distractions.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Like, you know, imagine you showed up in practice, they said, no, it's 7 o'clock. You know, if it was me and you were playing, it would be a fight.
Yeah. We're not leaving.
We're here. You know, and if we do leave, we're going to take like 4 balls with us.
Maybe the net.
Stupid shit. So, you know, I was just like the calmest dude ever. You know, like I'll usually be until you again gets me into running you guys and fight. But I'm not the one that always starts the fight. It's always you or Gabe.
Gabe's not here, so we have to blame Gabe.
Yeah, let's blame Gabe. See, Gabe always pull us, me and you, into the fight.
Into the fight. We're usually calm, and it's Gabe's fault.
Always Gabe's fault. I try to be as calm as I can, like, and then you go back to the hotel, you know, something is not right, that is not right. I'd be like, yeah, just, you know, it's okay. They move again from 3 o'clock to 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Wow.
You know, don't worry about it, man. It's okay. You know, I mean, that's pretty much how we got through, because, you know, I've been through it all, you know.
What's the next stage now? What's the next stage? What's the next leg that you guys have to go through?
You mean as in tournament wise?
The next tournament.
Yeah, in July. You know, in July.
Okay.
You know, they're doing it by points, you know, so we're just racking up points, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, like, how many points do you guys have now? We're going to put up, I know that we have the
graphics, on the,
we're going to put up the graphic.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, so, you know, is it, you know, the person that has the most points from each region, how are they doing it, you know, for the World Championship?
Man, I don't even know.
Yeah. Okay, you just want to win. You just want to get as many W's as you can.
All of it.
Yeah,
all of it. You know, they had us in a group, and they said, you know, we barely beat them. You know, okay, we just got tied off for first position, but because, you know, we beat that team, and that team beat that team, and then we beat the team that beat that team, so we're number one.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, that's.
You know, there's a formula to winning these tournaments.
Hey, they give us 500 points and give them, you know, 499 points. You know, I'm still good. We're number one in our group A.
That's all that matters, bro.
Yeah. You know, it's five teams going.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Five teams going. And, you know, I didn't even check other groups, what they did. I only, you know, focus on our group, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, in our group, I think K-Verd was the best team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they were a very strong team. They finished in the bronze game at the last Afro Basket. You know, right. So it wasn't like they were, you know, people that don't know basketball underestimate teams, you know.
Right.
You know, when you see a program that is building like Cape Verde, you know,
right?
Don't be surprised. You know,
I look at that team, and you know, it would have been better if we played them the last.
Mm-hmm. Better matchup.
You know, yeah, I would rather play Marley first, because Marley games was just physical. Mm-hmm. You know, we can just take the punch and give them back punch. You know, we can just throw punches. You know, and then whatever comes out at the end, you know, we could live with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Cape Verde, man, they were moving the ball. It's like when they throw a pass and nobody's there, it goes out of bounds. Mm-hmm. That means the person moved. There was somebody that's supposed to be there. The guy can actually close his eyes, and when they move the ball like five times, they throw it to one corner, That's somebody supposed to be in that corner.
It sounds like Angola.
Old Angola.
It sounds like old Angola. That's what I was going to say. Angola. It sounds like old Angola.
So that's how much that chemistry was flowing, man. Mm. Like they moved the ball so much around. Like, you know, we recover, we help, recover, they move the ball to one more space, we recover that. They move the ball to one more space, we recover that. You know, by the time we close that fourth different spot, you can't get to the fifth one. That's like, right. Damn, my God. So they were like a very good sound, you know, basketball team. And you could tell like they're together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been practicing. They, you know, it's a team. It's like a club team, you know, that knows each other.
Mm.
You know, not like a national team that just throw together, you know. So, and we lost to them early, you know. And what happened to them is they got comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Once they beat us, because we were the only
team. They got a big head.
Yeah, we were the only team to beat. And once they got that win, they got comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Complacency sets in, and they forgot the little things that they were doing. I was watching their game against Mali, and I sat there watching the game. I was like, and I said, I swear to God, these guys might not even make any, like on our own, they couldn't miss any three.
Wow.
When they play Mali, 5 minutes, nobody have scored. I'm like, what the hell? In Nigeria, against Nigeria, everybody gonna bring their best game.
Of course, of course.
Their best game, you know. But, you know, going through, when we played Mali, it was like physical, like I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we pulled through, you know. And the only one big change I made was just pulling Deji out, you know, last minute. And put in Chris. And I told Chris, hey, go in and protect the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And when that boy drove in and trying to score that last point to put them ahead.
Oh, I saw that. In fact, that was one of the top 10 plays, you know.
In all the tournament.
Yeah, I have that here and I'm going to play it for, you know, for our fans here so they can see it. Now, is that boy's name Kingsley?
Chris. His name is Chris.
What's his last name?
Chris.
It's like Onya something, I thought. Like, there was a Kingsley something I saw on there. You know, a young boy, like this young 17-year-old kid.
The 17. Hey, don't try to put your name into something. You know, you done, man. You retired. We don't have Kingsley.
I'm telling you, man.
We do not have a Kingsley.
There was a young boy I saw that the one that I blocked that shot. I thought his name was Kingsley. I was like, that's my namesake. But that boy was cold. Like I think that was the number one play in the top 10, you know, the top 10 plays. You know, if it was not number one, it was like number two. Because
Gona, the young boy. He's on an NBA academy in Senegal.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. That must be the kid that I'm thinking about. You sure he's not Kingsley?
Maybe some Kingsley back there.
It might be like Kingsley, so in the middle or. But that boy,
we let him have Kingsley. We let him have some kind of Kingsley, man.
Hey, I was actually impressed that out of the top 10 plays from the tournament, I think Nigeria had three of the top 10. You know.
Man, we are like every player. Jordan was top. I think Ben Uzo drove in. It was a top.
Mm-hmm.
Then the little kid, top. And then Chris, top.
Yeah, you so I was seeing Nigeria after night. I was like, man, you guys are
apart. We were. I was always trying to dominate. Anyway, back at you.
You can't go wrong, man. You can't go wrong. Nah. Like, the thing about it is, you know, anytime they Nigeria shows up, it's kind of what you said. You know, we always get everybody's best game because they know that if they don't bring their best game, it's going to be a rout. Nigeria is always going to come. You know, we're going to come ready. You know.
You know when a tiger wants to eat, it's a heavy lunch. It's a heavy lunch. Don't just get them hungry.
Oh my goodness, I love it though. Now, you know, talking about this, like for the next cycle, right? For the next qualifying cycle, you mentioned that
they call it window. The next window.
Yes. For the next window. Like, what do you have planned or like, you know, have you in the Federation? Are you guys going to put together a better structure? So, you know, you guys don't, you know, arrive there kind of like shuffled. You know, because we do want you guys there. I know the way that we've done things in the past, but it's 2021. We're going into 2022, man. Let's do it right.
Okay, I think the next window will be much better because now we have, they have an election January.
Yes.
Oh, it depends on the election. So I can't call it.
Now this is very interesting. Like I've had conversations with players and with people of interest in Nigerian basketball, and one thing that I have always told them, and I've had officials on my show and so on, and I've always told them that like as far as players are concerned, we don't give a shit who the president is.
We don't care
who the board of directors. Uh-huh. We just want to play basketball. If nobody understands this before, I am telling you guys this now. Leave the players out of the equation. And I know it's got to be very frustrating, you know, when you're trying to prepare a team. Like right now, you don't know what's going to happen. There's nothing you can do about an election. You know, that is just what it is. You know, but, you know, the only thing that we can pray for. And this is one of the things that I'm employing every Nigerian that says that they want the best for Nigeria. When it comes to our national team, we need to give unconditional support. I don't want to hear no bullshit about this person, this president, that president. I don't care about the administration from last year. I don't care about the administration from 20 years ago. I don't care about the future administration. All I care about is there's people sacrificing their time to come represent this country, okay? And they're losing money. You know, like, it's not like you're paying them like, a great deal of money to come do this. So believe me, everybody that's there is doing it for the heart. They love the country. So please, regardless of the election, I employ every Nigerian to put pressure on these people to make sure that we keep Nigerian basketball going. The grassroots is a thing that you have going now with the home base. I love it. I was a foreign-based player. You know, they came to the national team. The thing that I loved, if I came and it was just a bunch of foreign-based players, it wouldn't have gave me the same pleasure. You know, it was that mixture. And we had, home base and foreign-based players. We battled it out. We battled it out, like 30 players or whatever. We battled it out. And then the best ones, let's go. It wasn't about, you came from here. You came from here. When I came on that national team, I remember walking, with Badmos. It was one of the assistants or something like that. Ayo's, personal assistant or something. And I was telling him, I said, man, I hope I make this team. And he said, he looked at me, he said, make this team. That you're going to be starting on this team. I'm like, why? Like, I'm still hoping, because in my mind, I'm seeing talented players. You understand? I see people that can play basketball, and wow. I'm just trying to do what I do to fit in, that's what I loved about it. It's like you came, you competed, you got your due share. you know. So I love what you guys are doing, and I want everyone to just understand that. I swear, you know, y'all don't want me in Nigeria raising hell. I'll come down there, and I'll fly down to Nigeria. Let them know that when the Kingsley's in the house, man, I'm gonna speak my mind. But
we all do that. Right, we all did that, and we got in trouble and got out of trouble. Hey, but Kings, you know what you said is right, man. You know. Coming to think of it, you know, the only thing with the home base now is, you know, before it's almost the foreign base and the home base are almost close together, mm-hmm. but now the gap is
widening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the home base are not getting, you know, they're not getting a good training, I would say, or good league, as you know, they're not improving.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, the league has been shut down for 4 years. So, you know, right. It's hard to improve when you can't practice. You can't apply, yeah. I'm not blaming, you know, the previous administration, the Musa Keita administration. Or the TJ Umar administration all I'm saying is that it's collectively people have, you know, put Nigerian basketball backwards in terms of the grassroots. And, you know, when I say that, I just want people to understand, it's not on this administration, the other administration. We have to look at these young players, right? Imagine if you couldn't do your job for 4 years. You know, I mean, how good are you going to
be? And some of these guys have families, you know, like, you know, how they feeding the family, you know, taking money home, Christmas time, you know, all those things. But the thing, you know, the thing that kills me is, okay, fast forward to the game. I have two home base players. And Chris is home base, but he's kind of like home base away and all that. But the, you know, a day before the game, the final game, I came to the home base player, you know, to his room. And I said, look, you're going to start tomorrow. He was like, I said, yeah, you're going to start tomorrow. He was like, okay, coach. I said, look, but I have something you have to do for me. He's like, what? I said, Davis from Uganda, he's like top centers in the whole Europe, like top first team, you know, center. I don't want him to touch the ball. I want you to be like this, face to face. He said, okay. He said, yeah, coach, I'll do it. I put him in. And I'm watching him. He's all excited, right? So, you know, home base, you know, he throw him a bone, you know, they're going to go get it. You know
what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I throw him in there, you know. I don't want you to do anything else. Just be a big distraction. So he goes in there, boom, 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 running with him. First 3 minutes, boom. He turned an ankle, sprained his ankle.
Wow.
And he came out, he was mad. He's just like, man, you know. So I go over to him. I say, you okay? He's like, man, I turned my ankle. I said, okay, see if the doctor will tape your ankle and tell me how you feel. Man, this kid goes in the locker room, get his ankle strapped, comes back, coach, I'm ready. I'm like, that a boy. Mm-hmm. So I asked him, you sure? Can you play? He said, yeah. I said, go back. I was like, go back in. Mm-hmm. He goes right back in from where he stopped, picked off. Man, he going at it with this dude, man. And dude scoring, shooting, but he was right with him. Mm-hmm. Get tired. I said, get tired. Let me know. Get tired. I pulled him out. Man, he slowed this guy down. The guy, he scored. You know, you can't really shut anybody down. Mm-hmm. He contained him very well. He did a great job. He did a wonderful job. And he did everything I asked him to do.
Mm-hmm.
Man. So, you know, like, I was happy for him. I was happy that all the guys back home could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to work hard. You know, if it's up to me, every time I have a team, I will take at least one home base just to give them an experience, mm-hmm. and then give them, you know, something to take home to, and then get to meet other guys, you know, because they are a part of the same team. That way he can go home or, you know, have a chance to be an Olympian or be, you know, like help the other guys with the culture and all the things that we are all about. And, you know, just like my son being in America, he's never been to Nigeria, you know. You ask my son, oh, you going to Nigeria? Like, what? Where?
When the first mosquito bite him, you know, he's going to be like,
ah. You know what I'm saying? So it's always good, you know, like right now, Ike Diogo is that pillar.
Mm.
And you know, Ike is the one, like, he's the one, like, any new player that comes on the team, you know, Ike is the one that just going to get the guy into what we're doing, what the culture is, what, you know, he's been the captain, you know, that guy. I think that's the best captain ever, captain that team. I was a captain, you know. I was a captain, and I look at him, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
I didn't do all that.
All right. So tell us what's the difference that your captainship and the Ike's captainship? What's the difference there?
Hey, you bad, man.
Hey, I gotta do my job.
You know, like Ike, man. I don't know, man. That dude, man. I look at him sometimes like I just kept looking at him like he is so focused, you know, like, I don't know how to explain. Ike is like he's the heart and soul of the team. Like, like he calls everybody, you know, he tell him to be ready. I mean, he's like, man, I don't know. Like, captain, you know, like the only captain in the ship, you know. Do you know, like, after the game, he told everybody, like, from the bottom of his heart, like, I really appreciate everybody answering their phone and coming out and showing up. No promise that, like, last minute, leave whatever you're doing, come. After everything they've been through, they didn't invite them to this or that, you know, blah, 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 all the stuff that went on. He said he wants to thank everybody just to keep Nigerian, you know.
Yeah.
Going, you know, because if they didn't come, okay, they would have get a 3-year ban.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, like, the basketball is dead.
Wow.
So he said, thank you guys for just letting people know that we're still out there.
Yeah.
Just keep the flag flying, you know? So, man, that really touched me, man. I was like, man, I was a terrible captain.
No. I can tell you that. You were a damn good captain, bro.
When I was a captain, I never hugged you and said, "Geez, man, thanks for coming." I was terrible.
But you introduced me to some peps, you know. That's as good as a hug. Yeah. Hey, man, let me tell you something, bro. I know we're joking about this a lot, but, you know, Ike Diogo, you know, I never had a chance to play with him, obviously. You know, I was retired by the time that he joined the national team over there.
But, we all did.
Yeah, I watched, you know, his performance. I watched, you know, his interaction, you know, with some of the guys, and genuinely how some of the guys, you know, refer to him as well, you know, and I would probably, you know, equate it to, you know, the fondness that we have for you, you know, as our captain when we were playing, you know what I mean? Like, And that's just keeping it real, you know. So, you know, when you say that about Ike, you know, coming from you, I can understand that, you know, that he's one of those special guys. And just to kind of piggyback on that, when they left him off of the Olympic team, right? I saw a footage of him, you know, coming back, and he brought, you know, uniforms or, you know, jerseys or something that he, like, I think his, you know, product line, you know, like, I think he has a sports line or something, you know, and he brought, you know, jerseys and all that for the team that was going to the Olympics, you know, or the guys that were still remaining, you know. Do you, you know, that is, you know, like, it showed. And I almost cried. I mean, honestly, I literally almost cried. I was like, this guy is a phenomenal human being. And I think I even posted something about it. I was like, wow, you know, this is a real dude, you know, to come back, you know, after they diss you like that, you know what I mean? Like, get this.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. You know, like, how could you not find a spot for a captain of a team? Like, you know, let him be the last guy. Let him bring water. Man. Ike will bring water. All Ike want to do is play basketball.
And it's not like he's going to be a liability if you put him on the team. This guy is an engine.
Do you know the last game? I forgot how many shots he took, but it's more than 6-7 shots on three-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
He was 100% on the flow. 100% from the three.
Big man Steph Curry.
when he put in that last clinic, I was like, you know, my jaw is like, everything just dropped. Like, this dude is literally like unbelievable. Like, I told him, I said after the game, you know, because we went on a press conference, you know, and they asked him, okay, Ike, when are you gonna retire? This. He said he doesn't know that he want to be, he said like he wants to be there for the team and take them as far as they can go. And the goal is not just here. The goal is just to capture like a world title, you know?
Uh-huh.
So wherever he, as far as he can get the team and he can't go no more, he hopes that next person takes it from there, you know, that kind of a thing. And I'm thinking like, So after the press conference, I came out and I told him, I said, look, man, I'm 50 years old. This is what I told him. I'm not lying. I said, I'm 50. And you see me play 5-on-5 with you guys. I play soccer on Saturday. I said, look, if I can shoot the ball as good as you do, at 50, I will still be playing. All I'll do is come off the bench and hit like three of them, and I go sit back down. I said, dude, don't let anybody tell you when you need to stop playing basketball. Mm-hmm. Just keep playing till you know. You the one knows how your body is. You know when. And the funny thing is, when he catches the ball on top of the key and he square up, he still beat them on the first step to the basket.
Wow.
He just, like, he gonna go and he just drive. And his first step is still there. I'm like, unbelievable. You know, this kid can just flat out play, you know. And then the funny thing is, we played right after Angola. Half of the people in the stadium left. And they have that stayed back, wanted to watch Ike. Ike was in the locker room changing while the team was out warming up. So a bunch of people come behind where I was sitting. You know, they're calling me coach. I didn't pay attention. I didn't want to turn. So I heard them, coach. I turn around and they were like, is Diogo going to play? I said, yeah, he's coming. He's warming up. They were like, oh, yeah, okay. They went outside.
That's what I love about Angola. They love their basketball. They respect games.
I'm telling you. And they, you know, remember, they know all of us.
They do. They sure do.
And the funny thing is, when Ike finished, You know, there's a kid, I gave the kid the jersey. And the kid was running around with his, everybody want to hold the jersey. You know? I was like, unbelievable, man. So Ike is a legend, man. You know, the day he will stop playing, you know, the whole stadium need to get up and stand on vision and just like they did Scola, you know, Luis Scola in the Olympics. Everybody clap for him because Scola been there, you know, at the longest. He was there every face of the Olympic. He's there, you know. So,
well, I definitely think that well, Ike is one of those legends that he's definitely stamped his passport. He's done it, you know.
And then I try to look into his passport, man. He got his old Nigerian raggedy passport. I say, I bet that shit got like about 1,000 stamps on it. He had Cameroon, Madagascar, you know, Mauritania, you know, those places that don't even play basketball.
that tells you he's a soldier. He'll go anywhere he's needed.
Oh, man, he will go. Dude, man, like, I'm serious, man. Even though we're laughing, we're having fun, we're talking, we, you know, people are listening and stuff. You know, just on a serious note, that guy, Ike, you know, I never seen anybody like that, you know. As far as captain go, I'm not even close to being that kind of a captain. Because, you know, I mean, I'll fight, you know, like my captain was like, I ain't going to let shit happen to my teammate. You know, we're all going to fight, you know. I'll fight for you, you know.
Well, that's the best captain. You got our back.
But the fight got to make sense, you know. I'd be like, does that fight make sense?
Oh my goodness. Oh, I tell you, I love it because I followed Ike's career, you know, even when he was in Golden State, you know, he was a Golden State Warriors. Right. And they kind of had him as an undermanned power forward. You know, I was right. Like, man, this guy can still play, you know. So Ike is one of those guys, man. I've loved his game for a long time. So I'm glad to see him back. When I saw he was on the roster, I was like, yes. You know, I'm glad that he answered the call and that he showed up because that's the kind of people that we need for Nigerian basketball, because we know how it is. And when we're going to the Olympics and World Championship, it's not hard to get, you know, Steph Curry to become a Nigerian if we need to, you know. Oh, yeah. And anybody that we ask to come at that point, they usually will be available.
LeBron is from Nigeria.
He's from Enugu.
Look at all.
Yeah, you know, LeBron wants that James.
Yeah, look at his forehead. When you look at LeBron's forehead, you could tell what part of Nigeria. You know, he's an Igbo guy. You know, he got that strong forehead. And then you look at Durant. Durant, you could tell Durant is like a dude from Bendo State or Edo State, you know, because he got that Edo mouth, you know. And then you look at Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday is from Kano.
Yeah.
You know, I swear to God, Drew Holiday is from Kano. You know,
I wouldn't, you know, if they do DNA on them, I honestly, we're laughing, but you might be actually 100% correct.
No, I'm telling you, man, I look at these dudes, man, I could tell you where they're from. You know, ask me somebody where they're from. I tell you. Come on, man.
You know, in fact, that's what we're going to do next time. We're going to do a call in. And we'll give you a player, and you tell us what part of Nigeria they're from. It would be
because all of them are from Nigeria, except
all the good ones, ones. Yeah,
we know where Yann is from. We know Tokumbo where he's from, but
yeah, of course,
exactly. So that's just to mention a few, you know. Michael Jordan is from Owerri.
Douglas trees. He's from Douglas.
He grew up in Douglas.
Oh, I tell you, you know, Juice, it's always a pleasure when we have you on here, man. Man, you know, we're gonna be looking out for, you know, we're gonna basically prepare, you know, July for the Nigerian national team. We're gonna, you know, for that window, we need to make sure if we need to throw rocks through the window or, you know, whatever we have to do, we gotta bust through that window. But we gotta have you back on. I'm actually serious about. I want to do a live show. You know, where we get Nigerians, they get the Nigerians calling in. Let's have people ask you questions and, you know, from the public, you know, let's see what we can muster up here.
Yeah, set them up, you know, let them talk to their, you know, I'm one of them, you know, I we love Nigeria. You know, when we go home, you know how we try to mingle with all of them. So they can get a chance to ask questions. You know, we here to answer them, you know, and, you know, see what they think. And we let them know what we think, you know.
I want all Nigerians, you know, to kind of stay focused. You know, we have a big, you know, task at hand. We don't want, you know, regardless of what happens in January in the elections, we want Nigerian basketball to move forward. So we want a movement, you know,
movement.
You know, and you know, we're not stopping. You know, we need to make sure that we're moving forward. Not only the award championship, but the Olympics. And we, you know, I know now that you have your finger on the Nigerian team. You know, one of the things that I would love for you to do, my brother, is to coordinate, you know, camps, you know, where, you know, you can bring some of those home-based players, you know, here. I know that we have great people like Masai Ujiri and Toronto Raptors that's doing great things with Giants of Africa. You know, maybe you guys can coordinate some, you know, camping where our national team, where even with the junior team, you know, have them playing some exhibition games, you know, warming up here, you know, where you travel, you know, maybe take the whole team to Nigeria, you know, have a week, you know, training over there, bring them over here, go to Europe, you know, do some of those, you know, activities where, you know, how it is when we're on the road.
Right, right.
You know, the team gets to gel a little bit. Everyone gets to have a little bit of fun. You learn something about your teammate that you normally don't know when you're just practicing every day, you know, and you remember some of those trips that we had, you know, when we venture off. You know, whether we go to a nightclub or whether we just go have dinner, it's just guys hanging out, you know, learning a little bit more about each other. And it creates a little bit more cohesion, you know, on the court itself. You know, so if you can, please employ some of those. So, you know, your team, not only these guys that are training, that are playing now, maybe have a second group of guys that can be playing with them, you know. And, you know, it's kind of like iron sharpens iron, right? You know,
right.
You know, so we all get better in the process, you know, so, you know, those type of things. And of course, you know, because I'm sure that when we go live, you know, when people are having questions, some of the questions that people are going to have is like, are we preparing, you know, better training, better, you know, better preparation for future events, you know, so that way we don't, you know, keep making those same mistakes. Regardless of who's in charge, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I wanted to touch on earlier. You know, if we can set up the, you know, the home team, you know, and make a national team out of the guys at home. And every now and then they can come together in camp, maybe 1 or 2 weeks, and then work out with a, you know, with a good coach, you know, and help them and train them and, you know, like kind of help them with their game. And have a camp. Maybe every now and then they could play the, you know, the other national team. You know, maybe it's a B team or C team. They play each other, you know, and they kind of, you know, kind of measure themselves, see where they are, you know, see what they need to be, you know, improving on. And then one of the local coaches can be appointed to them or me or somebody to help them and play them against, you know, the main team, and, you know, and help them grow, you know. And before you know it, some of them might be moving over playing for that qualifying team, you know, before the, you know, the professional team comes, you know, mix them all up a little bit. You know, I mean, that's kind of what I wanted for the guys at home, but, you know, not exclude them into what we're doing, but include them, you know?
Yes, yes. I think that would be very important, because anytime that you, anytime in team activities, it just helps.
Right.
I know I learned a lot, you know, just watching other guys. I pick up moves, you know, I honestly, that's 90% of it, you know, basketball one. You know, I remember seeing someone do a crossover. I'm like, oh my God, you know, that looks nice. I want to do that. You know, that's right. How it starts, you know? And so, you know, and I remember teaching other guys how to do a crossover, at least how to, you know, break somebody down, and it helps improve everybody. You know, so, you know, I think that is really, really key. And that's an opportunity that as Nigerians that we haven't been taking, you know, strong advantage of, and we need to. Right. So, like I said, you're the right person for this, because you understand the game. You understand, you know, what it takes. And we just need to get the officials behind us, you know, so, you know, that way, you know, it's not an uphill battle, you know. So I want to thank you, like always, for being a guest on the show. And we're going to reach back out. We'll do a live event, you know, and get some questions from the people, and try to let's build this movement. You know, we're going to call it Nigerian basketball movement, you know. And I think
they're up in Nigeria right now. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, after this plays, we're gonna put the live date on this broadcast. That way, you know, people know, you know, when we're gonna do it, because we want them to call in. You know, that way. So everyone will chime in, and we'll do a live stream.
And we're gonna talk basketball, not politics, man. Basketball.
Yeah. And that's the main thing I want people to understand is that
we don't care, man.
We don't care about any political thing that's going on or anything like that. I because all of these people, we love them all. You know,
we love them all.
Yeah, they, you know, whether you know it's you know one faction or the other faction, we've had interaction with all of them. Where you know, at the end of the day, all we want to do is just you know play ball. You know, so. You know, with all love, you know, to all groups, you know, the main thing is let's get these players going. Let's give these players what they need, give them the right, you know, preparation, right equipment, so they can be able to do what they do. You know, any parting words for us, you know, Coach Juice?
Any what?
Any parting words? You know, do you have anything to say before we shut it down?
Oh, no, I'm good, man. I get in trouble with you, man. I'm done. Wrap it up.
Well, you know, I have to say this. I know you gave Ike Diago his shot. So you're my captain. So I'm going to tell you, captain, you know, I should coach, you know, Julius. You know, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. And I definitely, you know, with all the love, I wish Nigerian basketball, you know, much, much success. And I know that they're in good hands with you. You know, please keep doing what you're doing and keep us in first place.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know how we do it, Kings.
All right, my brother, you get you some rest. I know you fresh back from the journey.
Yeah,
you know, relax before you have to go to the next window.
Before I get some movement.
Yeah, yes, yes. You know, watch out. Right, watch out.
All right.
All right, my brother. Good night, man.
Peace.
All right.
This is Real Talk with Kingsley Obidera. This is where you catch all the real sports. We do incredible things like this shot. Hey!